Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done. But don't worry, because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep harder than all-star voters slept on Bam Adebayo. Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation you desperately deserve. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, CBDMD is offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Osmond steps into a long-distance jumper. Allen to the bucket. He crushes it home.
Off to Garland for three. Down.
Drummond toward Valanciunas finds a cutter in Okoro, and Okoro thunders it home
by Kyrie. Sexton got it back. Nance for the tie. Knocks it down. Love hands it off the Sexton feed. Cavaliers by seven.
And Cleveland, this is for you.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs, joined as always by my partner in crime. Evan, I'm gonna start coming up with new things every day. I didn't come up with one here, but how are you doing, buddy?
For those of you who know personally, it's been a rough few days for me, but I'm hanging in there. This Cavs game was not enjoyable to watch. I don't think we're gonna touch much on it, but I'm good. All things considered, I'm alive and doing well. How are you?
You know, doing good, hanging in. We're living. You know, we're just doing what we can do. I think Doom Cavs Twitter is here.
I don't think it ever left.
I think it's getting a little. It's either getting defensive or really bleak, and I think being defensive about this team is silly. But as you probably know by now, if you got the alert to watch the game, whatever, the Cavs lost to the Miami Heat on Tuesday night, 113-98 was the final score. Obviously, if you listen to the show before, Evan and I normally do awards and stuff. We're not going to do that today. We do not feel that this game merits awards because the Cavs just got their asses kicked once again by Miami. And this was not close. This was not competitive. I took very little from this game. Kevin Love didn't play. Whatever. Like, the Cavs are bad. They suck, etc. But I want to also just tell you guys really quick that today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Now, Evan and I are going to be going live on this app. It's on iOS on Wednesday around lunch, so check that out. It's going to be right on there. We're going to do a 30-minute Cavs chat, talk about some various Cavsy things and trades and whatnot. You talk to me, talk to Evan and us, and maybe even join us live on stage in the app. So download that today, and we thank them for sponsoring the show. So, Evan, I just want to ask you this. The Cavs they've been really bad since the All-Star break. They had that nice little run before the All-Star break. Things have obviously gone the completely other direction since. I would just be absolutely shocked if the team actually has a real run at the play-in tournament, the playoffs, whatever you want to say. I would be shocked if that's in the DNA for this team. What do you just think is going on right now? We're on our WQIC episode later this week for the listeners and listening to the show. We are going to do like, okay, what do the Cavs kind of do from here? How do they build? What kind of goals can they set, etc. As part of, we're going to do that after the Celtics game tomorrow. So we'll recap that game and talk about that on the Thursday show. But Evan, when you just think about what this team is right now, you think about them, diagnose them just sort of as you can right now. What do you think is going on?
Not a good team. And I kind of feel like the doomsayer for this Cavs squad. But, just presently constructed, they have a nice collaboration and collection of guys right now. Like, yeah, we're both very high on Jared Allen, but he's not like a transcendental player that you build your entire franchise around. Colin Sexton is a very good scorer, but it's becoming more and more glaringly clear that he shouldn't get a max contract. He's going to get a lot of money from the Cavs, but in my mind, shouldn't get a max contract because he's no Devin Booker. He's no Donovan Mitchell. He's no insert player that Cavs fans want to compare Colin Sexton to here. Like, Colin Sexton's a good player. He's a good three-level scorer, but he's also sometimes inefficient at times, even though he's a player that's hyper-obsessed with efficiency. Darius Garland still showing flashes, but I'm starting to cool on him a little bit because I just don't think he can consistently be a dominant player. I just think he can be a very good player. Isaac Okoro is a rookie that I really don't have a much evaluation on at this time because he hasn't really had a normal rookie season, but like he's looked good in spurts, but I don't know if he's ready to be a full-time starter. And like Larry Nance Jr., a player we're both very high on, is very good as well, but he's also a lot like Jared Allen in a similar vein where like, yeah, he would be awesome as a complimentary piece on any contending team or a playoff team if the Cavs, God willing, were able to become that, but he also isn't a player you can build around. He's just a jack-of-all-trades, master of none on both ends of the floor that just like beautifully complements a lot of teams. But other than that, the Cavs are just kind of a ship in the middle of the ocean without any sails or wind to blow their sails in any direction, and I'm just kind of curious where they go from here. Like, Chris, you were a little hot about this when we first got on, and I feel the same way. It's just I don't really know where the Cavs go from here, and it's just a weird time in Cleveland.
So this is just where I think I'm at. I think I've always kind of been here. Like, this isn't like something I'm firing off as a hot take. I think Evan knows this, considering how much we talk about this very, very silly basketball team. But I just don't understand what the organizational point of direction is. That is, I think, where I'm at. I don't feel like I understand what the Cleveland Cavaliers are trying to do. I don't think when you look at the roster moves, I don't think you have a clear understanding of what they're trying to do. I think when you look at sort of like what the ethos of the organization, what they sort of believe in, how they like approach different topics, like what their sort of tentpole kind of like beliefs are, I don't feel like any of us understand that. I don't. I don't feel like we actually kind of understand what they think the actual timeline is, like what sort of like the goals are. I just they've gotten guys that I like. I think Sexton, I think Garland, I think Allen, I think Okoro, I think all
it's
these
a nice
guys
collection
are really interesting.
Pieces, but how the hell do you put it all together? It's like a mishmash puzzle, and you're trying to fit a bunch of pieces to make a different image.
Right, and I think like every team in the league, and Kirk Oldsberry wrote a really, really great piece about this at ESPN about geography in the league right now and max players and stuff and where they've ended up. If you're a market like Cleveland, you need to hammer player development, you need to hammer the draft, and you need to like not just hammer your top picks, but you need to hammer, you're getting guys like on the fringes of the draft, like your 26th pick, your second round pick, your undrafted guys. Like you need to find diamonds in the rough, develop them, and be smart about development and free agency and things. Like you need to be a very prudent organization. I think the Cavs like are showing signs of that in terms of like who they're getting on two-way contracts and whatnot. But like, I just look at what the Cavs sort of are and what they're what kind of players they even and go after, and I just don't feel like I understand what the plan is. I don't feel like I understand what they think about anything, you know? Like, I don't feel like there's, like, an identity to what this organization is. And it's, like, for all, like, you know, maybe they're not as good, and they've obviously benefited from some trades in the way that the Cavs have not, but, like, I feel like I understand what the Oklahoma City Thunder sort of, like, ethos is, right? Like, we're gonna develop really good talent, like, wing long guys. We're gonna get as many draft picks as possible, and we're gonna take shots at this to try to get star players. Like, the Pelicans have a little bit of an accelerated timeline in that sense, but they have all the picks in the world. I don't feel like I understand like what the Cavs actually like believe is the way to build. I would challenge anyone who thinks they do to actually lay it out. I would read a blog post about this. I would read an email. I would read whatever, because I just don't feel like there's a coherent way to sum up what the Cavs actually like think they are doing. I just can't come up with like a logical explanation
either.
For
it. And that's what's kind of most frustrating about this team is. The Cavs, like I've said a few times now, they have a really nice collection of parts, but I just don't know what the hell the Cavs are doing with them yet. And I also sometimes, like, I like J.B. Bickerstaff as a person. I think he is a good leader for this team, but I question some of his decisions and rotations offensively and even defensively as a coach as well. And there's just been a few missteps along the way during this entire rebuild process that really give me pause as well. Like, this all started with the Kyrie Irving trade under Kobe Altman's tenure, and, like, Colin Sexton's all he has left to show for it, and now we're going to be fighting tooth and nail on whether or not he deserves a max extension or not. It's just a weird time for the Cavs, and even after the draft Darius Garland, they have the shortest backcourt in the league that's a mess defensively. They get Kevin Porter Jr., who has all the potential in the world, but the Cavs kind of fumbled that situation, but also it's a 50, it's a two-way street because Kevin Porter Jr. did himself no favors as well. Dylan Windler is such a weird prospect because he looks like a good shooter some nights, but now he's ice cold, and I think some of the offensive sets the Cavs are running are a disservice to his growth and development as well. Like, Larry Nance Jr. blossoming into the player he is was a huge surprise. Jetty Osmond kind of becoming a weird prospect is a surprise. They've made some moves that make sense, but they've made more moves that are more baffling. It's just, I don't know what the Cavs are doing at this point, and maybe I'm just being a doomsayer at this point, too. And hi, Hiram, I know you're listening, too, and I'm sure you're going to get all up in arms about how Sexton isn't a max player, but he isn't. He isn't, and maybe the Cavs wait to extend him not this summer but the following summer, and they just kind of ride the wave, and then if all things considered it doesn't work out, you try and sell high on Colin, too, and then you try and build from there, but that's a PR nightmare, so I don't know what the Cavs do. It's just a... such a weird amalgamation of parts and things, and I don't know if this becomes less of a problem in the draft if the Cavs get the first or second pick, because they get a Cade Cunningham, they get an Evan Mobley, and then I can say, okay, those players are good enough, Cade being the transcendental one, Mobley being a very, very, very good player and has really made a case for himself as the second best player in this class. You build around one of those two, and then you start to figure it out from there. You start to ship off some of these other pieces, and you start to figure out maybe you clean house on the general manager and coaching staff as well. Like, there's a lot of different things the Cavs need to try and tinker and stinker with, and like, this offseason is going to be paramount for how the Cavs build towards the future, because LeBron James isn't coming back. He signed an extension with the Lakers. He's probably going to retire a Laker, and he's not going to come back and fix everything like he did last time. And the Cavs got extremely lucky in the fact that Kyrie Irving turned out to be the quote-unquote guy for them, but Kyrie still wasn't enough. I remember the year before LeBron came back, it was Mike Brown coaching the team with a big three of Kyrie Irving, Luol Deng, and Spencer Hawes, and they barely lost out on the eighth seed in a very bad Eastern Conference. And it was so frustrating to watch that team fall apart like it did, because I had legitimate hope. And that's the thing. I don't have legitimate hope right now with this Cavs team, and it's just going to get bleaker with their upcoming schedule where they play San Antonio, Miami, the Lakers, the Jazz, even Sacramento and Chicago and Oklahoma City, who aren't great teams outright, could be our teams that could easily beat Cleveland if they catch them on a bad night, and how the Cavs are on the road, it's probably going to be a bad night. I don't know, man. It's just a weird time, and we're really running long here, but it's just a therapy session for us too at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I look, my emotional sports fandom is tied into Tottenham Hotspur and Jason Preston, who is a blog boy. Did you see my tweet about this? Ohio University star was a blogger at the Detroit Pistons fan-sided site, like way back in the day, and gave Andre Drummond a C-plus grade in his game grades. Amazing stuff. Jason, you love Preston to see it from Jason Preston.
He's an honorary Lockdown Cavs co-host that'll never be on.
Look, he gets drafted by the Cavs. I'm going to request so many interviews. It's going to be really annoying for you. But here's just like my ultimate sort of like feeling on this, Evan. I just wanted to say this very bluntly. I think the Cavs have pieces that are interesting. They are very young. Growth is not linear. The Cavs are playing really bad right now. They look like just like the worst team in the league in the last couple of games. Except for maybe the Rockets, who have just lost like a bajillion games in a row, even though Kevin Porter Jr. is doing fun stuff. I just don't feel like you can understand like what they're doing, and I am in the camp that like culture matters. Yes, a star player is like sort of like what matters to some extent, but I do think organizational culture and like mindset does ultimately matter in some of this. I do think it does. It comes from the players, but the organization matters too, and the organization sets the direction a lot of the time, especially when a player is very young, and I don't feel like we understand what the Cavs are doing in that way. But it's time for a break. So after the break, here's what the rest of the show is going to be. Next segment, I had a conversation with Matt George from Lockdown Kings about Buddy Hield. We made a fake trade, and we'll talk about that. We'll be talking about that in the locker room thing as well. Evan will get a chance to give me his feelings on that trade when we do that in locker room. And then third segment will be the first 10 minutes or so of that locker room chat. You can check that out, and then follow us again on there, and we'll be doing these once a week. Some of the snippets will run here on the show, one a week or so. They ought to be a little bit different in terms of quality and everything like that. But it's going to be fun to interact with people more directly in that way. And obviously, at the end of the show, you'll hear our voicemail number. I challenge you to leave us a message on that. And if we get a couple really good ones, and you just give us a name or a pseudonym or something, and you say, like, hey, this is what I think the Cavs ethos is, and you lay it out for us, we will play them on the show. That's my promise. But that's my challenge, is give me an idea what your ethos is. Keep it to like a minute max, and we'll play the best ones. But Evan, it's time for an ad. Why don't you tell everyone
Locker Room is a great and a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. You can talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and executives in real time, including Cleveland's own Matthew Dellavedova and also Cleveland's own Evan Dammer and Chris Manning. Join in on conversations with me, like I said, and then have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Cavs podcast. Chris and I will be hosting rooms every week. Every Wednesday around lunchtime, we're calling it Lunch with Locked On Cavs. Title is working to be determined, but come through and talk with us live. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Cavs Locked On Cavs group. Follow me at AmNotEvan, also my Twitter handle, to be notified when my room goes live. We'll be going live on Locker Room, like I said, every Wednesday around lunchtime, and come with your spiciest takes. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, also want to tell you about our friends at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combine all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. It's an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. Process is simple. At BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And you don't like swallowing pills? BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tildenafil tablets are chewable. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
We're covering everything you need to know about the Cavs, but what about the rest of the sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Pete Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts, probably the same place you find Locked On Cavs.
Okay, here's my chat with Matt George from Locked On Kings.
This is Matt George from the Locked On Kings podcast, and I am joined by Chris Manning, one of the hosts of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. We have just negotiated a trade that would send Buddy Hield to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Before we get into the specifics of this trade, who's coming back to Sacramento, what's all going to Cleveland in this deal, Chris, I wanted to talk to you about the interest in Buddy Hield from the Cleveland perspective. I threw out there just to our entire Locked On NBA group chat after the news today from Sam Amick of The Athletic that there is significantly diminished value for Buddy Hield because of his contract specifically. I threw out there just a generic, hey, if you're interested in Buddy Hield at all, you think your team would be interested in Buddy Hield, contact me. Let's talk about it and see if we can negotiate something. You were one of the first two teams, including the Memphis Grizzlies, who contacted me. What is it about Buddy Hield that you think could be a good fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and how much does Buddy's contract weigh into things?
So it's an interesting question with the contract. I'll start there just because I think the Cavs, you know, I think like Memphis would sort of probably think the same way, that they're not a free agency destination, right? Like this isn't a team or a city, frankly. And I think Sacramento can sort of understand this as well. Just like you're usually not getting like the highest high end guys to come to you for free agency, right? Like you're not going to get the next Kawhi and PG to like force their way to Cleveland or Sacramento. I love Sacramento. The movie Lady Bird is just like dear to my heart. So I need to get to Sacramento just for homage to that. But like, I look at this and it's like, okay, this is a good player. And yes, the contract is maybe a little much, but I think he can still provide value. And I think there's like a lot of reasons to like Buddy Hield. For Cleveland specifically, this is a really, really bad 3-point shooting team. And not just in terms of accuracy. Like I think that's kind of like their bottom three, and obviously Buddy would change that. But for the year, and it's changed a little bit of late, but for the year, they're 30th, according to Cleaning the Glass, and 3-point rate. They need to just take more 3-pointers. Like they're about half the volume of the Utah Jazz. Like I'm not saying you need to go all the way to that, but I think you need to dial it up and find organic ways to do that. And Buddy Hield is just a guy who is going to do that for you. And you know, like I told you and we were chatting about this via DM, like I don't know exactly like what the fit is and how all that work, but I think like the talent bet would be an interesting Jingwan, and I think you can make do with the contract. Like it is what it is, and it's not, you know, I don't think it's, you know, a super albatross by any means. I don't think it's obviously like maybe exactly what you'd want, but I don't think it's, you know, backbreaking either.
Yeah, you're alluding to what you said would have to come back to Sacramento, and really what would have to work financially, what would have to come to Sacramento in order for this trade to work out. And you were looking at either Andre Drummond being involved in this deal, and we know Drummond and his expiring deal have been a topic of major conversation around this trade deadline. Many teams potentially interested, including the Los Angeles Lakers. Or you talked about a potential package including Osman and Prince. So I kind of combined the two into what was the final deal that we came up with. I'm going to read the final deal off right now, Chris, that we have both agreed to, and then we'll kind of talk about this from both sides. But what we agreed to was Sacramento trades Buddy Hield and Corey Joseph, who has only $2 million of his, I think, $12 million contract next season are guaranteed. So the Cavs can do what they will with him, another guard there. That will go to Cleveland along with the Los Angeles Lakers' second-round pick in this year's draft, the 2021 draft, and the Chicago Bulls' second-rounder in the 2022 draft. All four of those assets would go to Cleveland, and in return, Sacramento would get Andre Drummond, Taurean Prince, and a first-round pick with a lot of protections. To go through this, it would be top 25 protected in 2022, if those protections held up, which most likely they would. It would become top 20 protected in 2023, and if that held up, it would become lottery protected in 2024. So that was the final deal there. Why, in your mind, is this a good deal for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
First, I also just want to note that I didn't even forgot to mention this before. Buddy Hield's contract goes down in value after this year.
Yep.
And I think that you can like sort of that sort of makes me think like you can sort of wiggle around that a little bit. Look, it's no secret that Andre Drummond is done playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That has ended. That is come and gone. It's his time with the Cavs is done. All the kind of smoke out there right now indicates that like they're having a hard time finding deals for him in general. And like, he might be a buyout guy, whether that means Brooklyn or LA or whatever. I think if you're Cleveland, I think you maybe try to take a swing and use that contract to get a guy who's maybe like, you know, in a weird spot somewhere else, or just do something just to kind of see if you can get some kind of value back. Like one of the ones that I've been, you know, wondering is like, could you do something where, like, you just flip Otto Porter and Andre Drummond? The Bulls had reportedly had some interest. Could you get like a second or something back in exchange for that? Hield would obviously be, you know, a much better example of that, because I think he's a good player. I think you have him locked in a little bit longer. If you think he can help you, then it's sort of, I think to me, it makes a lot of sense. And Corey Joseph, you know, maybe you end up cutting him or whatever, but like, I do think this team has a need for like a third point guard. I think Delly is kind of near the end here. He hasn't played a game this year. Quinn Cook is on a 10-day deal now, but like, you know, I like Quinn Cook, but I don't know if he's, you know, around beyond this 10-day deal even. It's sort of unclear at this point. So I think it's just Buddy Hield is a talent play. And I think for a team like Cleveland that is still trying to figure out what it is, and without having to give up a pick that is, you know, going to convey anytime soon, that theoretically might convey in a couple of years, and when you're a little bit better and can kind of be insulated from the hit of that, I do kind of think, you know, this is a talent play that you're kind of using that Drummond trip that's going to go away otherwise. And I'd be curious to know sort of for on your side of the things, like why a lot of times when I've asked people about Drummond, it's just like a non-starter. Like they're like, I'm good. Like our team doesn't, you know, quite need this guy. I don't really think the thought on him around the league, at least in our little corner of our lockdown host, is particularly high. So why was Drummond kind of like not a non-starter for you?
To me, Drummond is actually more a filler in this deal than anything else. And I say that with respect to Drummond. I do believe he can provide something very valuable for a team still in his career. But the expiring money is what's most important here from the Sacramento perspective, that the Kings are able to get off of the contract of Buddy Hield immediately, open up cap space, which is what new general manager Monty McNair has wanted to do since arriving here. That way you can do so without having to give up Harrison Barnes, who is very important to this team and is having a career year and is a better fit. It's easier to move on from Buddy Hield at this point, at least from the Kings' perspective, because his replacement in Tyrese Haliburton, at least in the starting lineup, is already here.
I would argue Tyrese Haliburton is already a better, more impactful player than Buddy Hield and has been so really this entire season. So taking Andre Drummond back, it kind of kills two birds with one stone. In one area, you potentially make a short-term win-now move where you can move Tyrese Haliburton into the starting lineup. You can move either Rashawn Holmes or Marvin Bagley out of the lineup and play Andre Drummond, allow him to finish out the season getting significant minutes as a starter in Sacramento, and maybe that helps you make a run for that play-in tournament and maybe the playoffs, which are really a long-distant goal here in Sacramento, if we're being completely honest. And then if Drummond decides he doesn't want to re-sign here in Sacramento and he leaves, it's not a big loss to you. With the addition of Taurean Prince, you add some wing depth and some somewhat defense that the Kings are in desperate need of. And to also get a first-round pick on top of that, regardless of the amount of protections that it has, and the Kings probably won't be able to cash in on it until like 2024 or 2025, doesn't matter. To me, to get that value for Buddy Hield and his contract right now is an absolute win for Sacramento. I know there's going to be pushback from some Kings fans who recognize the elite shooting that Buddy Hield has and not wanting to just give that away when the best coming back, I guess, is an expiring major contract, and the likelihood of Drummond re-signing in Sacramento, I would say, is very, very low. I get that concern.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, man. I don't know what the market for him is going to be, and I think there's a chance that if you get him in house and it works well, and like someone like De'Aaron Fox who's probably the best, and Haliburton too are sort of the best passing guards he's played with maybe in his career. Like, just think about the point guards he's played with. These guys are going to be better than frankly what he's played with. And I say that as a Darius Garland believer. You know, like, I just don't think there's no one quite as good as Haliburton as Fox that Drummond's played with in Detroit or Cleveland. Like, maybe there's a way that like this is sort of what can elevate him beyond sort of being like kind of a frustrating player. I think like that's kind of one of my things is like, if a team can get him that can pass him to better stats basically and better shots at the rim, like there's a way where Drummond could be useful. Maybe Sacramento is that, and I don't know. And again, I don't know if like, I think there's a fair question, like, does Drummond want to, you know, like play in a big market on one of these big really good teams and take a pick it, or does he want a little more money and still be like a close to a future guy? Like, Sacramento might offer him that. I wouldn't say it's like a unlikely situation where he goes there and then doesn't come back, but I don't know exactly for sure. Obviously.
Yeah, I have certain questions honestly about the Kings' willingness to pay him and bring him back, because they also have the possibility of paying Rashawn Holmes, and in theory you'd be able to get Rashawn Holmes for significantly less money, assuming Andre Drummond doesn't accept a pay cut. There's also the questions of Marvin Bagley, whether or not he's a four or a five, that come into play. But in this case, the Kings would acquire Andre Drummond and maybe get a tryout or an audition for him for the second half of the season. And if the fit is fantastic, like you're talking about, he and Haliburton or he and Fox or all three of them really hit it off, and he provides some physicality on the inside, some rebounding, which the Kings are in need of. If that works out, I could see the Kings being interested in negotiating with him. But my point is, if you lose Drummond for nothing at the end of it, to me, it's still not a massive loss when you're able to get Buddy Hield's money off the books. And you still are able to pick up a piece like a Prince who adds a little bit of depth.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think Prince is like decent. Like, he's been hurt of late, but he's a decent player. Like, I don't think he's as good of a shooter as Hield, but like, you're getting like a serviceable wing player on like at a decent number in this deal too. So I think that's kind of interesting.
So there you go. That is the final deal that we negotiated between Locked On Kings and Locked On Cavs. We'll run through it one more time. The Cleveland Cavaliers will get Buddy Hield, Corey Joseph, a 2021 second rounder from the Lakers, and a 2022 second rounder from the Chicago Bulls, which the Kings currently have. All four of those assets go to Cleveland. Sacramento gets back Andre Drummond, Taurean Prince, and a heavily protected 20 or future first rounder that is top 25 protected in 2022, top 20 protected in 2023, and lottery protected in 2024. I like the deal for both sides. It would be interesting to see if a deal like this actually happened, my friend, but I appreciate you you hopping on here negotiating with me. This could be an interesting trade deadline to see if anything like this possibly happens. Regardless of what happens with Andre Drummond, from a Cavaliers and a Kings perspective, there's going to be a lot to follow.
yeah, this is going to be fun. Always a fun time of year and you know, good to do this.
We've been telling about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on every bar. And now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Evan, today's matchup is a doozy. It is a absolute doozy. It is peanut butter brownie versus coconut almond. Who do you got?
I got coconut almond in this one. I'm a big almond joy guy in general, and this is more of a mountain bar slash almond joy situation, but that's what a coconut almond Built Bar tastes like to me. And as a former thick boy, I appreciate a sweet treat that is so low carb and so low calorie. Who do you got?
I got coconut almond too. I think we're going to be going against the grain a little bit here, kind of, you know, poking around on the opposite of a very good flavor in peanut butter brownie, but I gotta go coconut almond, and it's not particularly close. Coconut almond absolutely rules. Go to builtbar.com or to built_bar on Twitter to check out the rest of the bracket. And remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Let me tell you about our other sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, such as my favorite, Bachelor in Paradise. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has all you cover has every. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So, head to their website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, you get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And that's again at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Also want to tell you about Wednesdays on Locked On NBA. It's small market meets big market. Wednesdays on Locked On NBA. Join Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast and John Corrales of Locked On Celtics for a look at the NBA week from all angles. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, here is a little snippet of our lunch with Locked On Cavs. Again, find us on there at CWM Rights. Evan, what's your handle on Locker Room?
My handle on the Great Locker Room app is AmNotEvan, which is just my Twitter handle. I think you and I stuck with our brands, and it's going to be easier for people to find us on there.
We're LinkedIn on Built Bar. We're LinkedIn on this. We're just Kismet, my guy. But that's check that out, and then, again, follow us on there and join us there in future weeks. And, again, this episode came out about a little later today as a result of that chat, but hope you guys enjoyed it. And back tomorrow to recap Cavs Celtics and set some goals for the Cavs the rest of the way. Talk to you then.
This is a Locker Room production.
Evan, let's get started. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right, so let's say Locked On Cavs, lunch with Locked On Cavs, Locker Room chat here. We're very excited to do this, working with the great folks at Locker Room. We're going to talk a little bit about this fake Buddy Hield trade I did with Locked On Kings. But, Evan, we have a question first in the chat. Oh, and Ryland from Locked On Thunder, look at this. Look at this. But Jack Kennedy has a question. Any chance Larry Nance is traded? We've talked about this a lot. I'm going to say no unless the Cavs get blown away, which, you know, don't know if that's going to happen. But, I think this is – I think it's very telling that a lot of fan bases are catching on that Larry Nance is actually good.
Yeah, for sure. It's – I think that's – like I've always said, it's kind of like my barometer of how I know you – really pay attention to the Cleveland Cavaliers is if you say, like, yeah, no, Larry Nance Jr. is a legitimately good player who's on a very good contract. Like, at the time, it seemed like an overpay just because of the player Larry was then, but he's just really transformed and modified his game so much that it's looking like a steal for Cleveland, and I don't blame fan bases for asking us quite often, or people from different fan bases asking us quite often, I should say, is whether or not Larry's available. No, it makes a lot of sense why they're asking, because he just makes teams better. He's a lot like he's in that Chris Middleton vein. Weird that they wear the same number too, but like if you could clone Chris Middleton 29 times and put him on every team, including like the current Chris Middleton on Milwaukee, you just make every team better. I think the same case goes for Larry Nance Jr. They're not really players that like elevate you or take you to like playoff contention or title threat, but they are such good complementary pieces that they can be utilized in so many different ways.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. I think like Larry's a guy that I think if you put him in different situations, if you put him on a Warriors, a Heat, one of these really good teams, I think he could be a really interesting piece for a lot of these teams and make those teams better, really help them in the playoffs. I think he's a guy that if you're building like out your 8-man rotation, you know, to start a playoff series, right? If you're going to get it down to 8-9 guys, Nance definitely, I think, can be one of those guys. I think it's just a question of like, how much is he worth in terms of giving up a lot of picks for him? I think in like a different world, Evan, if the Cavs were in a different situation or, you know, building differently or whatever, I do think that they're a team where like you could see like a first round pick mattering to them. But I think with how, I think for other teams trading with Cleveland, like there's not a need to go all in with all these draft picks, because like you need those draft picks to build cheaply with your roster and the edges. You need swings of talent. I think especially teams that are not, you know, big market teams that are going to go get stars or have the ability to get stars that are going to switch teams a la, you know, AD, James Harden, like whatever. Like I think the Cavs are a team where like they could try to trade with those other teams that are in that same boat, but I think you'd almost likely not get the same kind of, you know, first round pick return. If anyone is joining in, by the way, shouts to Nick, who is, I believe, still banned from Twitter. You
free
can
Nick,
request
everyone.
Free Nick, hashtag free Nick. You can put questions down below, request to speak, and come on. Actually, I'm going to invite Rylan up here because if I figure out how to do this, because we're on request to speak, because I want you to come talk about Cade Cunningham with us for a minute if you're interested. If not, no worries, but we'd like to talk about Cade with you.
What's going on?
Rylan, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, we might be having some connection issues with Rylan. Oh, yeah. There you are. How you doing, buddy? Oh, man,
well,
he's gone.
We're waiting to figure this out. Cade Cunningham would be really good on both of these teams. I will say that the idea of him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would just be incredible. We'll see if we can get Rylan up here and get this to work, but it would be incredible to see Cade, I think, in any of the situations. I think he'd be particularly good in OKC with Shai. But look, I mean, I think the beauty of this is that the flight and lottery odds sort of mean that, like, a pure tank is sort of difficult, right? I mean, I think all these teams are going to kind of just be hoping they get really lucky and having to do some voodoo magic to get lucky in the lottery.
Yeah, the lottery has been changed, obviously, to no longer incentivize tanking. But in Cleveland's case, I think they're still kind of in that threshold where they'll be okay lottery position wise. Like, they could have a good stab at number one, but they could still land at a good spot. I know, like, Cade Cunningham is obviously the goal here for the Cavs if they were to go to a more lottery path route, which probably is what they're going to do at this point, especially considering what this team might look like after the trade deadline. But no, Cade Cunningham is kind of the bomb that answers a lot of the problems. Like, you and I kind of had a therapy session where we just kind of vented about things that frustrate us about the team right now. And Cade Cunningham kind of is the bomb that puts all these pieces of the Cavs have assembled together. But, I mean, I'm not too picky about him, but also I'm just not too picky about talent in general when it comes to this draft. And if you land a top five pick, I think the Cavs are in a good spot going forward then.
Well, let me ask you this kind of conceptually. I mean, I think there's limits to just pure talent roster building, right? I think that you can definitely do it, and I think there are ways to do it. But I think, like, always just going talent can get you in a really tricky position, just because, like, you know, how much are these guys overlapping with each other? How much are these guys actually making each other better? I think there are some real, you know, construction questions to that. I think if you want to look at a team like that has done this and it hasn't worked, I would argue that the Timberwolves are like that, right? Like, the Minnesota Timberwolves are this, like, they have Kat, they have D'Lo, you know, they have Anthony Edwards, like, they have Malik Beasley. Like, and some of that is, you know, unlucky with injuries and and Malik Beasley being suspended and all that. But, like, I think there are limits to just betting on talent. I think you do need, like, the runway in terms of your organization, you know, making sense and still being logical and having a plan for how you want to play and acquire things and how you want to build. I think, you know, like, I think talent obviously is the starting part of this, but I think there's just a position where they're limits. Like, I think OKC is, like, an example of this where, like, they sort of, like, even if it is sort of we have a lot of picks, I think the player development part of them with getting Lukens Dort and Shea kidding another level there and all that stuff, I think is really, really intentional to me. Maybe Riley can tell us if I'm wrong or not, but to me that feels intentional.
Dropping him in now. Rylan, you good? Good.
What's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Just hoping that you guys start winning games, get out of the way.
Well, I have some bad news for you. Have you checked Cleveland's upcoming schedule?
Yeah, it's not good, especially considering Oklahoma City's upcoming schedule. So this is going to be fun.
Well, do you think that's going to be a slug match? Do you think that's going to be the fade for Cade title bout?
I hope so, especially with some of the moves that Oklahoma City's making right now. I mean, not playing Mike Muscala, but 14 minutes in the entire second half has been really good for them. Resting Al Horford randomly for no reason has been really good for them. Hopefully they start gaining ground and trying to get Cade, because goodness, that team would be really good with Cade.
I mean, think of the potential. Like, I'm sure you think of it a lot, but the potential between Cade Cunningham and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is such a good launching point for Oklahoma City. And how sick do you think the league is that Oklahoma City could be the future of the NBA? Because I know people dog Cleveland being in the NBA Finals, but if, let's say, Oklahoma City became a legitimate title threat, a consistent title threat, imagine how much the national media would moan about having to spend their, I don't know, June, July, if they go back to the regular schedule in OKC, because I feel like Cleveland and Oklahoma City are kindred spirits in that regard, not to diss the city at all.
Yeah, I think that it's made a lot of progressions. The Thunder have been incredible for the growth of this city, and it's why the fan base will always support the Thunder, because without them, we would still be a nothing city. But the national media would much rather be in almost any other market than Oklahoma City for the bulk of their summer, and I cannot really blame them for that, considering they have the options of, like, L.A. and things like that. But it'll be fun for sure, especially if you can recreate and learn from your first title runs and your first real competitive runs with the KD Russell Westbrook group.
Locked On Cavs is your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast covering the latest news, rumors, and game action from the Wine and Gold.
You can follow us on social at Locked On Cavs or give us a call and leave a voicemail, and we'll answer your questions live at 440-673-3605.
If you want to contact the show, email us at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is by going to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It's produced and hosted by Chris Manning and Evan Damrell.